Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I want you to think about what this really means, you know, as long as we're on this specific verse. To not be ashamed of the gospel because, notice there's a cause to not be ashamed. It is salvation to those who believe. It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The power of God to save you is this message, the good news. And what is the good news? The good news is basically this, that Jesus has overcome the world. Right? Jesus has overcome the flesh. Jesus has overcome sin. Jesus has succeeded where all of man has failed, so that in him we are justified before God, not of ourselves, but of him. The good news is that you do not have to die and be forgotten. The good news is that you can live forever. It is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believeth should not perish but have everlasting life. But notice the qualification to whoever believes. It's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And what does it really mean? First to the Jew and then to the Gentile. It was first to the Jew because, you know, the Jews were to whom the promises were made. As you can read here later in Romans, it is to them that the promises were made. It is to them that belong the ancestry to which our Lord came. It is to them that the covenant was made, right? But understand, there's a point here, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. That's first to the physical and then to the spiritual. Remember, because the Jews entered in according to this covenant, and the Gentiles entered in apart from that covenant. They entered in through faith, through a new covenant. And that's the difference between flesh and spirit. There is a covenant with the flesh, but it's for a temporary blessing. Right? Physical. But there is a blessing to the spirit that is eternal. Can everybody see that? It tells you right there in the verse that tells us about salvation that the gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. In other words, it tells you the pattern of God is there in the message. The pattern of God is a part of the message. Can you see that? The pattern of God is a part of this message. For the gospel, in the gospel, verse 17, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Remember what I had said earlier. All of us, all the things that we have suffered, all the things we have experienced, all the ups and the downs, you know, our salvation doesn't change with every hill and valley. Jesus' promise is true from the moment you received him, you believed, to this moment. As long as you were in faith, right? His message hasn't changed for you from first to last by faith. Get it? From first to last by faith. For the gospel is the righteousness of God. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. The righteousness that is revealed is Jesus' righteousness. For it is written, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So whose righteousness is your faith in? Yours or Jesus's? See, that's kind of the point. You believe that his righteousness is enough to save you. Do you believe that? But remember, as it gives us this pattern, notice there's two parts that this where this pattern has been highlighted. First to the Jew and then to the Gentile, and by faith from first to last. These are both parts of the pattern, aren't they? They both talk of the same pattern. And it goes on to tell us about this pattern concerning this gospel. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven, verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. God has made the truth plain. And I want you to think about that for a minute. In spite of what all the other stuff is going on, in spite of all what the rest of the world has to say about it, these are two facts that are true. God has made it plain. His wrath is revealed from heaven against men who suppress what is plain. You know what it means to suppress it? To suppress it is to keep it from the people. To suppress it is to try to move it out of the way. To suppress it is to try to keep it in a box and away from everyone else. Give you some examples. For years, the Catholic Church, long after Latin wasn't the main language, they kept their rituals and their masses in Latin, even though the people didn't understand Latin. That was an attempt of the devil to suppress the truth. To keep God's love for them a mystery. And we have lots of things like that. Men suppress the truth by their wickedness. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities. We're talking about spiritual things, guys. His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that the people are without excuse. Again, we see the pattern here. The things that are seen testify plainly to what is not seen. The pattern of things in God's creation testify plainly to these truths that we hold to be evident. For although they knew God and neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became as fools. And let me tell you how that happens. Tell you exactly how that happens. Men's desires. Remember what it says about the carnal mind? And we're talking about the nature now of sin, of sinful man. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to God's law, and neither indeed can it be. Because men chase after their desires. They chase after what they want. They're not interested in God's will. They're interested in their own will. The will of the flesh. And guess what? God's will runs contrary to that. It's enmity against that. So they suppress the truth. They try to change the truth for a lie, that they may satiate their own desires. It is the selfishness of this nature to live for itself, to please itself. God's demands, God's person, God's truth gets in the way of that. So in their foolish hearts, they become darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. You know, instead of looking through the physical things to see the spiritual truths about God, his invisible qualities, his majesty, they began to look at things and worship them. Do you see what's in that? And this is the kicker. It's a willful cutting off of sight. It's a willful blindness to look at the things instead of through them. It's a willful blindness. And this willful blindness has been passed down to all of us. It's what they chose. And the reason they chose the blindness to the truth is so they wouldn't have to obey the truth, so they wouldn't have to acknowledge the truth, so they could have their own way. So they exchange the glory of God for things that can be seen. The glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts. Get it? It's what they desired. To sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. You see, you have to see the consequences of denying the truth. The consequences of living for pleasure is to find out you're dead already. That's why there's no peace in fulfilling your desires apart from God. Because the fulfillment of those desires works destruction in you. You were not made in the flesh to be a god. You cannot handle the stresses and the rigors that the life of a slave of slavery to sin will put on you. That degrading is the revelation of your own foolishness, of our own foolishness. Because you see, we cannot make it well again ourselves. We feel the weight of the guilt and the filth. And the only thing that we can think to do is come up with bigger lies. To lie to ourselves that we do not stink. To lie to ourselves that we are not perverted. To lie to ourselves that this is the natural order. See, the lies have to get deeper and deeper to cover up that degradation, to cover up that guilt. You see the nature of it, how it works? Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. They worshiped what they could see instead of looking through the things they see to see what can't be seen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. That's exactly what they're doing now. It has become so gross and so perverted that in order to live with themselves, they have to change it and call it natural. You see how the lie gets deeper. In order to be able to have their cake and eat it too, in order to fulfill their desires. And you know what? Those desires become twisted by themselves. All by themselves. And all that's left for you to do is explain it. And to explain it to where you do not look like a fool, you have to say, well, that's natural. Yeah, that's natural. It's natural. It's a life choice. You know, I often wondered about things like homosexuality, where people say, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I imagine everyone in here has an imagination. Can you imagine what it is that these people do behind closed doors? See, it's not just the world wants you to look at this. Well, look, they're these effeminate guys and these other people, they're great decorators. The property values go up. They're nice people. Oh, and they seem so loving to each other and so sweet to each other. And all that has an air of pulling a quilt over a dead body. The quilt looks nice, but underneath it is a rotting corpse. And all you have to do is peer between them bedroom doors to see how disgusting it really is, how abhorrent it really is. And Paul goes on to say, in the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. This isn't, I want to explain something here in just a second. I'm not going to remember this. They abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. I want you to understand that nobody chose this. What they chose was to fulfill their own desires. But what happens when the desires take on a life of their own? Then they bring you to do things you would have never done. Isn't that true? You've heard the old thing, sin takes you farther than you want to go and keeps you longer than you want to stay. No one ever planned for the very... Think about it for a minute. You think about something that you want to do, you want to try. You have a fantasy about it. You try it. And you may even keep doing it. But then after a while, what happens? It doesn't satisfy anymore. So it leads you to try something else. Right? Now you see the slippery slope. Pretty soon, you're doing things that you never in the beginning would have thought of. And that's the way it is. You can't find a single crackhead laying in a crack house somewhere, going through the heebie-jeebies, that when they first smoked crack, planned that that's where they were going to end up. You can't find one person who decided one day to look at porn that woke up one day and then found themselves a pedophile and believe that that's where they planned for it to take them. There's choice, and then there's the recompense of that choice. And the part I wanted to really hammer home here is the choice is fulfilling your own desires. The consequence is the perversion of those desires. The perversion wasn't the choice. That's the consequence. You take things into your hands that you think you can control. You give yourself over to appetites that you think you can control. You think you're going to be the guy riding the horse, and pretty soon the horse is riding you. Because you're not just dealing with flesh and blood when you try to fulfill your desires. You're dealing with powers and principalities and wickedness in high places. You're dealing with spirits who want nothing more than to destroy you simply because you're made in the image of God. And they want very much to demonstrate their hate for God. They very much want to demonstrate and degrade His creation and pervert it. Your choice is to fulfill your desires, and the consequence is for your desires to own you and become perverted. Because there are spirits working through these things. And you think these things just come out of the man's imagination? They come through that imagination from other things. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, and that's why they don't see the pattern of God anymore. Look through the things to see the truth, but look at the things and lust after them. Just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. See, that's the consequence, the perversion. So that they do what ought not to be done. Nobody ever chose to become a pervert. They chose to fulfill their desires. Just like no one ever chose to be a slave. They chose to put themselves in the position where it was easy to take them captive. They become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. I want you to think about that. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They're gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. Let me tell you, the hatred of God in these spirits will manifest itself in you if that's what you give yourself over to. You may have thought, I'm just going to go do what I want to do. But you know what? You're not going to do what you want to do. You're going to do what somebody else wants you to do. And when you choose to disavow the knowledge of God, to black that from your mind so that you can do what you want to do, there's somebody else more than happy to step in and start making decisions for you and bring you to a place of degradation and destruction you never thought possible. To bring you to a place where your desires and your minds are twisted to where you can't even function like a normal, or remember what a normal relationship is with a person. Remember what it is to think as a normal person would. And it's not just about the sexual impurity. It's not just about the twistings and perversions of that, but it's also about all of these things. Greed, malice, envy, becoming a God hater, because the spirits you're dealing with are full of those things, and they will express them through you. You have no understanding when you're like that. No fidelity, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decree to those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do those very things, but also approve of those who practice them. But remember, at that point, they have become slaves. God gives them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They're given over. They can't change their mind. So they continue to do those things and wax worse and worse and worse. And now you can see why it must be God that grants us repentance. Because you can't cast a demon out of yourself. Only God can. You can't free yourself from the chains of sin and degradation and depravity. Only God can. A slave cannot free themselves. Do you understand that? But look where it all starts. It all starts with the innocence of, I want to do my thing, like Adam and Eve in the garden. I want to fulfill my desires. I want to take what I want. Never understanding the consequences of that decision, because you can't see that far down the road. And the fact is, you have to block the truth of God out of your mind to do what you know is wrong. And if you do that often enough, that's what God gives you over to. What you've chosen. You wonder why the world is the way it is. You wonder why thousands upon thousands of people who think of themselves as Christian are chasing after these false teachers who are telling them what their itching ears want to hear. Who are chasing after money and wealth and all of these things. This is why. This is exactly why. Because they did not love the truth. If you can be lured away with the promises of carnal pleasure, whether it be money, whether it be sex, whether it be the happiness of this life, if you can be lured away with carnal pleasure, it's because you did not value the eternal. And all the way up, the truth is evident in creation, in the pattern right there. Even up to God's invisible qualities in Godhead, it can be seen in the things that are made. It's been made plain. And that's why there is no excuse. Do you see how dire this becomes when you understand it? But thanks be to God, through His Son Jesus, we have been ransomed from this slavery. We've been ransomed. And because we have been ransomed, we should be more than anyone those who would value the truth. And part of valuing that truth is admitting what we are apart from God. so that we can see that it is only our faith in the righteousness of Christ that saves us. And that's what will keep us humble. And that's what will let you will solidify in you that flesh cannot save you. And that there is nothing good in your flesh. That there's nothing you can depend on in this life. That you are dependent upon the very mercy of God. And as one who is dependent, you become one who clings to faith. And that's the truth of it. Let go of the idea of an earthly glory. Let go of the idea of this earthly happiness. And grab on to the eternal. And understand that the suffering for the truth's sake serves great purpose. But it's only temporary. Just like this false life that so many put their hopes in. The suffering is only temporary. You have an eternity being given to you. And this is why your faith is of greater worth than gold. It's a good place to stop. Questions or comments, please feel free.